When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
That's right, live from Sherwood Forest. It's the Von Hessler Doctrine. I'm Eric Von Hessler, but I'm not alone. That's Autumn Fisher right there.
Hello.
Right in the middle, you're looking at.
What's going on?
That would be Jared Yamamoto and our friend English Nick over here.
Cheers.
Got a full show for you. Hour one begins now. It's been a full week of headlines, and I have not been on the air this week. So, Jared, it's time for... I swear to God, it's time for... headlines of the week.
All right, here we go. So, the engineer of the Amtrak train that crashed in Philadelphia, apparently, Eric, has no recollection of the incident or anything unusual. And again, no explanation for what caused the crash.
Yeah, now, it's understandable that if you were in a crash like that, that you would forget the moments surrounding it. That happens to people an awful lot.
Yeah.
And so I understand that. But the train was going 106 miles an hour when it was supposed to be doing 50 or 55 or something around that turn. And I'm going to speculate here a little bit. I think there's something weird about this guy. I think because... people talk about these systems that the train should have had, and we'll talk about that in a second. Very early on in the coverage, there was a couple stories about how this guy had made a point on Facebook about how this system that slows down a train if an engineer is incapacitated or something like that should be on all trains. And in one of his Facebook or Twitter posts, he was like, "How are you going to feel when a bunch of people are injured or killed when it didn't have to happen?" Now, this is something that, so it's kind of strange to me that a person who showed so much focus on that as an issue suddenly finds themselves in that situation. And I'm just sort of not completely like the Lufthansa pilot, right? But in his Facebook postings, it seems to me like he was saying, "This is going to happen someday, and you're going to feel really bad about it." And then it just happens to be his train that it happens on. Another thing that something to throw away here is this idea that it's a reflection on the amount of money we're spending on infrastructure. Now, that's a whole different debate that we can have as to how much money we should be putting into infrastructure. But the fact of the matter is, look into history. I think in the 40s, a train on that track, on that corner, derailed, probably for the same reason. So if it's just speed, if it's just that the train was going too fast for that corner, that's not a matter of infrastructure. It might be a matter of priorities, which might have been this guy's point. Like, he spent a lot of money in other parts of the country where people don't use Amtrak and it loses money, and you would have been better served to spend that money on having, what is it called? There's a name for this kind of system that he wanted. But basically what the system does is it jumps in. It's like it steps in if the engineer is not doing the job properly, or the train itself would know, you know, I'm going too fast for this turn, and it would basically slow itself down and keep itself within the speed limits at all times. My understanding is that's not as easy as it sounds, especially in the Northeast Corridor. Mm-hmm. It's a system that is dependent upon a lot of radio frequencies constantly being in contact, and in the Northeast Corridor, it's a lot more difficult to get a hold of these different frequencies than it might be in the middle of the country. So it's an important task. It's a tough task. And obviously, we know that whatever that system is should have been on this train, which is probably the busiest line that Amtrak has. So why it wouldn't be one of the first to get that, I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's something a little strange here with this conductor. I believe that he doesn't remember. I know a lot of people have been through events like that, and it's common not to remember. You wake up in the hospital and you remember like the day before it even happened, a car crash. I understand that, but until they find something else, it seems to me like this guy might have had some sort of delusion of grandeur, some sort of thing to, you know, I'll show them that they need this. It seems kind of weird, but it could have happened.
Is he saying that he doesn't remember?
By the
that
way, Autumn Fisher
day.
Is our train expert. She
yes,
is an expert on every, all things trains. Yes,
the reason
ma'am.
Why it derailed was because it was, you know,
going
just,
too fast.
There was a rock on the.
Yeah.
The rail and just skip, you know.
You'd think that we'd do something about that.
But yeah, so is he saying that he doesn't remember the whole day?
He doesn't remember. He remembers leaving the stop before. And anything after that stop, he doesn't remember. So he remembers people getting on the train that stopped before, and then he's blacked out completely, which is believable in a crash like that.
Isn't it? I mean, shouldn't it be like MARTA and how it there are certain places on MARTA on the train where it doesn't go above a certain mile per hour? Like there's a cap on
yeah,
how
well,
fast
that, it can those
go.
Caps are there. That's what this guy was saying in his Facebook post. We have the technology that should be on trains like this, mm-hmm. and one day you're going to feel bad about it. I just think it's weird that he would post something like that.
Not also, that I would ever do that or anything.
There's another thing going on where apparently people are reporting that something hit the train right before that happened.
Right.
They've looked into that. It's about a grapefruit size kind of ding that's going on there. There may be something else that's going on because other trains are reporting they're being hit by something, but I don't think there's any chance in the world that whatever hit that train made it accelerate to 106 miles per hour and going over that. It sounds like human error. The only question is, did he do it in some sort of fit of psycho whatever?
Martyrdom or something.
Yeah, but you know, he very well could have died.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guy at Lufthansa, he did it. He was suicidal. So, I don't know. Headline two.
All right. So, the Boston Marathon bomber may spend years in maximum security prison during his appeal process.
Yeah, I hope this goes relatively quickly. We have an awful lot of people that are on death row throughout the country. Now, I don't know how many we have on federal death row. This is different. Boston and the state of Massachusetts does not have the death penalty. The reason he is going to get the death penalty is because this was a federal case tried on a federal level, and the death penalty does exist. It seems to me that the Oklahoma City bomber, he was a federal case as well.
Yes.
And Timothy McVeigh was put to death in a reasonable amount of time. It seems to be within 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
It seems to me. So this stuff can be expedited. Anytime someone gets a death penalty, I believe they have a right to an automatic appeal. It's a big deal that you should go through all the motions. We know this guy did it. We know he deserves it. We know, you know, eventually we are going to put him to death. The argument that I've heard this week that kind of annoys me, and I got it from my wife, it was like, I think it would have been better. Well, I mean, not just my wife, but right. it invaded my household.
Right.
I heard it everywhere. But the idea that, well, I think it's better that he has to live his whole life in prison, and that's a worse punishment than death. What kind of psychological leaps do you have to make to come to that conclusion? There's nothing that people fear more than death. Also, there's a matter of retribution here. You could never make a person pay for killing an 8. Remember that this guy set that bomb down next to an 8-year-old kid. There's nothing that you can do that even matches that. The closest you can come is say, well, you took his life, so we're going to take your life. That's as close as you can come, and that's not even close. Look, it may seem horrible to you and me to live in a maximum security prison. It wouldn't be our first choice. But at his age, at some point, he will acclimate. He'll get used to it. Guess what? He can read books. He can educate himself. No, can't read books and educate themselves. The 8-year-old kid and the other two who died. No matter how long the people who've lost limbs live, there's nothing they can do to make those limbs grow back. So I think when you do what he did, you deserve this punishment. And I'm not buying the psycho babble of, oh, I think it's a worse punishment to sit forever in prison. Yeah, because you're sane. And so you're not going to sit forever in prison. When a man does what he did, there's only one thing that can come close to being justice, and that is the death penalty. Now, being a libertarian at heart, I understand one good argument against the death penalty, which is I just don't trust the government to have that kind of power. That's a generalized argument, and I think it's a legitimate argument. It's one that can be had. But given the death penalty was a possibility here, if this guy doesn't deserve the death penalty, let everyone off death row, because no one deserves a death penalty. We have time for one more headline before we break?
We sure do. So this is the best headline right here, Eric. So the Atlanta Hawks
yes!
have made it to their first Eastern Conference Finals Woo, I'm so excited.
You know, Autumn will have to take this one off because she doesn't care about sports
at
all.
I love sports.
And English Nick is English, so basketball doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot to them.
I still get excited when stuff's on the line, though.
And when it's your city, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the important thing. I was watching the game, and I was very good because the thing about the Atlanta Hawks is they'll drive you crazy, even when they win. And I knew going into this game that they were going to be up by a bunch. I think a couple times they were up by like 12, 14. They're going to go up by a bunch. They're going to give it back. And I was really good. I was really taciturn when I watched it. You know, I didn't get excited and yell. I was alone watching it alone. And I was very good emotionally because they did go up when they gave it back. And with the Hawks, I just want them to be there in the last 3 or 4 minutes and let's hope something's put together. The only time that broke was when Paul Pierce, with no time left in regular, hits a three-pointer, and it's a tie game, and I didn't think for a second we would win it in overtime. I just didn't. And that's when the expletives flew, and I started swearing, and I jumped up off the couch and just started kind of... And then it took 30 seconds or so before even the announcer started talking about the fact that the shot may have been too late. So it was, I'm jumping around.
That place
and it's like,
erupted.
Huh? What? Well, you would too. Put yourself in the Wizards fans' shoes to have a buzzer beater like that, and you're all over the... you talk about the emotional roller coaster. That'll give you a heart attack to go from the top to the bottom that quickly. Like, he just tied the score. We're going into overtime too. No, the ball was still touching his finger with 0.1 seconds left. Therefore, it's not good. I want to. Sometimes I don't know. Oh, we have to take a break.
We can.
Yeah. I have a little more to say about the Atlanta Hawks when we return, and we'll try to get to a couple more headlines when we return. Channel 2's Brad Nitz says, expect a high of 85 degrees. Overall, we have an 8 on the Mellish meter today. It's 80 degrees right now. This weather report brought to you by Shoemate, the official air conditioning of summer. Just a few more words on the Atlanta Hawks. Congratulations. Moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Huge.
Against the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron is on fire right now. That's going to be a tough one. But this is, I am rooting for these Atlanta Hawks. I love this team. I love the players. I love the coach. I have said before, I wonder sometimes if the coaching and the system is so good, I wonder if they're punching a little bit above their weight right now. In getting to this third round, to me, everything else is gravy. If they hadn't made it to the third round, I think that you could look at January, where they won every game in that month, and say, well, it was kind of a fluke. It was a streak. They got hot. What they did by getting the team further than the team has ever been before, which is kind of weird. In 1970, they went, but they weren't called. It wasn't the conference finals.
Yeah, they were in the Western Division.
They were in the Western Division. But basically, I don't think it's very difficult to say that since that team has been to Atlanta, we are now going into an area that they have not gone into before, closer to a championship than they ever have before. And for me, everything is gravy now. I want them to go all the way. I am rooting for them to go all the way. But by getting the team further than they've ever gone before, it makes January legitimate. It says, without a doubt, no matter what happens from this time forward, this is one of the best teams that have ever called themselves the Atlanta Hawks. And that gives legitimacy to the whole year. So now it's, to quote Terrell Owens, popcorn time to sit back and just have fun and watch your team and see what they're going to go up against the greatest player of this era, LeBron James. And let me tell you, if you watched him in the last couple of games, he's got that fire in his eye, and it's going to be fun. And I believe in these guys, and I want them to go all the way, but I guess my point is, even if they don't, because I believe that Coach Bud is going to deliver NBA championships to this. Imagine now free agents are going to want to play here. This is what he's done before he's had that. So I think the future is bright, and I want them to go all the way. But for me, the only way I can put it is I don't want to be too satisfied because it's not the championship, but it's gravy at this point because they have proven that they are one of the best squads to ever call themselves the Atlanta Hawks. Let's try to squeeze in one more headline.
Here we go. So 2016 presidential hopefuls Mike Huckabee and Ben Carson lead in a new WSB-TV landmark poll.
Okay.
So that's huge. So
they're leading Georgia.
That's
so
right.
The Georgian primary. So, okay. I don't know. This could be good. Doesn't it seem to you that it just basically means they're the two most religious?
I would say, well,
Huckabee's a preacher, and Dr. Ben Carson is very high. He pushes that side of his, look, this is a part of evaluating a candidate. Here's my warning about this. Georgia, look, Georgia is out of play when once we get to the big presidential. Georgia's a red state. I don't care who the Republican nominee is going to be. The Georgia is going to go red when it comes to the November, the actual election itself. So this is the only time that you can really stand out as a state and be part of the process. That's the Republican primary. Be careful not to do to yourself what Iowa did to itself. Iowa has now become a place where the leading contenders don't even really try all that much because Iowa's become a trap state. It's become, we're going to get behind the purest candidate that we can, not the candidate that we think can win the general election. So that's my only, you know, religion is important, values are important, philosophy is important, but I don't think that it should be the number one reason why you're going to vote for somebody for president. I think you can easily say to yourself, I'm not going to vote for somebody that I disagree with on those issues. But it seems, when I see Ben Carson and Huckabee at the top, it says to me that that's now like more than 50% of the evaluation process is how religious is this. And that's fine, but you've got to remember, if you want to be important as a state in a primary, you need to start having people win or come in second who over time win the presidency. Iowa has now become a place where someone like Jeb Bush knows I have to finish in the top three.
Right.
But that's down to Iowa. Well, if you finish in the top three, you don't want to be four. And the reason is because they keep gravitating toward the most grassroots, most pure as far as the grassroots are concerned, but they're not producing future presidents. So over time, it devalues what happens in that state. And that's my only warning to the state of Georgia. The only shot you have in presidential... Look, this state's going to go red November 2016, the first Tuesday in November 2016. So the Republicans are not going to spend money, whoever it is, coming here because they know they have it in the bag. And the Democrats aren't going to spend money coming here because they know they can't win it. This primary, Republican primary, is where you have a chance to say, you know what, this guy would be a good president all the way around. If you're religious, you're never going to vote for somebody that doesn't share those values. I get that. I just get a little leery that it's the most important thing, because once you go to the nationwide contest, which a presidential contest is, it's not going to carry so much weight over all of the states. If you want to be important as a primary state, start picking future winners. Then you'll get a lot more attention in future primaries.
So with that being said, who's your favorite at this point right now?
I don't have a favorite. I want to see the I'm in favor of the debates. I'm in favor of I like Carly Fiorina. Is that her name? I don't know how good she is. She's interesting to me. Why do I have to choose now? That's what a primary's for. Let's have some debates. Let's hear people out. All right, we have a little segment called WTF when we return. Welcome back. It's Sunday. You know what that means. If you want to really be informed, you got to go pick up your Sunday Atlanta Journal-Constitution. This week, a story that uncovers new details in a controversial shooting of an unarmed black teenager by a white police officer in a small Georgia town. Go get your Sunday AJC. It is now time for us to turn to our friend, Autumn Fisher, and she is going to present stories in something we like to call WTF.
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
Is that our music for it? Ba-ba-ba-bum.
WTF. That's what we're
what
gonna do.
What the fun and games, Autumn?
Sure. So there was a billboard that was on display in Buckhead that was hacked, and someone put up a pornographic image.
So this is one of those electronic billboards.
Yes.
Which are more noticeable in Buckhead because they're close to the ground.
Do they have some sort of ordinance or something? They can't be.
It's like the one that's on the side of the Buckhead Theater and those, but they're very close to the ground, so you really kind of almost miniature Times Square style. You really see them right in your face. I have not actually seen this photo. Jared tells me you can find it on the internet. I want to see it. I want to show it. If you have it, show it to
me. I'm working on it right now. I'll find it.
You know, the scary
He's
part.
He's going to go take a picture of himself.
The scary part about this is if you can hack, I think this is a pretty easy hack. It sounds like all you had to have is the password or something. Somebody who knew somebody got the password, and really once you had the password, you could pretty much put anything on there that you wanted to. And so it's kind of you know, I don't even know if it's scandalous. It's hijinks, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
No one was necessarily harmed.
No.
But the important thing there is that so much of what we rely on in life now mm-hmm. is electronic, is digital, is internet-based, is computer-based. And that gives an awful lot of control and power to the people who have the passwords, who have the keys, or the people who have the knowledge of how to hack into things. And so I don't know how much hacking went on here. It's hacking even if you stole a password,
right?
In general terms, I don't know if it's not high level hacking. If I could do it, if I had the password, so it's kind of low level, I think. But we had a story. I think later on, one of the stories that Greg Russ might bring us from Studio B1 is it kind of goes in this way, this area where there's hackers who are. This is no longer urban mythology. There's a guy, and he's trying, I think, to do the right thing and warn us this is possible. But he's getting on planes, he's hacking into the entertainment system, and through there is beginning to gain control over the flight of the plane. So this little billboard thing is ha ha ha.
Right.
But as we get more and more of our life is on these sort of networks, the people who can hack into those networks, this guy on the plane apparently told one engine to go a little more power than the other one, and the plane went sideways for a while.
Wow.
That's a reality. And he was sitting in coach.
Why don't they just take off Wi-Fi? We don't need Wi-Fi in the plane.
You know, that's a good question about airplanes in general. I think it's silly that, you know, like, why do I have to have a meal? If I'm not going overseas, the longest flight is 4 hours. Do I have to eat? Do we eat every 4 hours of our lives? This kind of weird thing. No, I've got to watch a great film and eat a meal.
Well, you know why they do that? It's because you
distract
have to distract you from what's actually happening.
Yeah, you're in a small tube flying at 500 miles per hour at 35,000 feet.
There's no chance you're going to die. No. Just eat like you normally would. It's
calm
fine,
everyone
relax.
Down. They basically try to make it as much like your living room if you had 200 other people in your living room with you. But yeah, I don't need all that stuff, but I don't even know if it's just the Wi-Fi that's on the plane. The plane is communicating with ground control all the time.
Radio or something.
Not just radio. No. I mean, it's always been radio, but now a lot of that goes on through GPS and pinging and all of this sort of stuff. And if people can get in there, mm-hmm. and if a terrorist were able to get their hands on something like that, it would be pretty awful. So the billboard, haha, fun and games. You still haven't found it, Jared?
You know, it's funny because I found it the other day, but now they must have taken it down.
It's been scrubbed.
Usually I can find everything on the internet.
It's like that girl from the Hunger Games. Well, you can only find that for like 24 to 48 hours.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Just scrubbed.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I think the Jennifer Lawrence people are behind that.
Yeah, Jared's going to spend the next 5 minutes.
Now, that's what I would have put on the billboard if I had hacked it.
Right?
Next WTF.
Yeah, so apparently this man has had the suction cup of a dart stuck in his nose since he was like 4 years old.
Where's he from? Do you know?
When
you say this man, I want to know more about this man.
Is he British? I think he might be
like?
British.
Yeah, I think his story comes out of. So anyways, what did he do?
So I don't know. As a child, he stuffed this little, the suction cup of a little rubber dart up his nose. And recently, as a 44-year-old man, has sneezed it out.
And now, according to this story, he didn't even know it was there. It doesn't really feel any different now that it's gone. And for 44 years...
No, he knew it was there.
Well, he knew it was there, but he didn't feel it.
Right. And and doctors said that there were no adverse health problems for him or anything. It was just...
That must have been a heck of a sneeze 44 years later.
It's as big as a penny.
Yeah.
I couldn't feel that when you press on your... Like, that's got to be huge.
There's two things that I stuck up my nose as a kid. All of them before I was 5 years old.
Rubber hose.
That was in my Welcome Back Connor days.
Okay.
One of them was, I believe, a dime, mm-hmm. and that came back out, and that freaked me out. But the one that stuck, and I guess it's just food, so it went away after a while, was a raisin that I stuck in my nose, and I was 5 years old, and I never saw that raisin again. But, you know, that just became part of my, you know, just sort of melted away, I'm sure. But I remember thinking that I was going to die. When I was 5 years old, and I had that in there, I was like, I don't want to tell. When you're five, you don't know what you get in trouble for and what you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you just think to yourself, I did something that wasn't right, and so I didn't want to tell my parents because I thought that I would get in trouble for sticking a raisin up my nose. But then I had to sit there with the, oh, my God, when you're five, you don't think about death that way, but this is going to be bad. And this is going to hurt me an awful lot.
Especially when you lose it, right? Like you're sticking up your nose, you still got a grip on it, and then, It's gone.
Which just goes to show you, this whole idea of children being wise is ridiculous. Any group of people who are known for shoving things up their nose... Uh-oh, you saw the picture?
I found it.
You saw the picture on the billboard?
Sure, I think that's fake. That's fake.
You don't want to see it.
You don't
want to
see it.
Even if
you don't want to see that.
I didn't already show you anything.
Oh, no. Okay, I don't even...
No, you don't want to see
it. Is it that one that goes around all the time?
I'll give you a clue. It's a farm animal.
Okay, that's enough. We have a family show here that we do live from Sherwood Forest. I think we have time. So that's what my thing is. What we can learn from that story is children are not that bright. Stop with this idea that children have wisdom. People who stick things up their nose that don't belong there are not bright. So let's just accept that. And maybe I'll sneeze and a dime and a raisin will fall out.
Wouldn't that
in a
be
few
amazing?
Years and,
like, I'm going to use this dime and get a piece of gum from the little
finally,
vending machine.
I'll be free. That dime was worth so much more when I shoved it up my nose in 1969.
Gosh.
It bought
right.
so much more. It was like putting a bar of gold up there. Another WTF story.
Yeah, so a man gave his stepfather an atomic wedgie and killed him.
The man died because of a wedgie?
Yes! He killed him with an atomic wedgie. He apparently suffocated. So an atomic wedgie is different than just a regular wedgie.
Explain the atomic wedgie to the common layman.
Yes, an atomic... Okay, so regular wedgie is just pulling the underwear up very high.
And hurting,
hurting something.
That little area
down there. And the atomic wedgie is when you pull the underwear so high and you put it over their head.
Right.
Which I can't imagine can happen without the underwear ripping first. But apparently...
There must be a lot of underwear.
Maybe he was a
or
really
very
big
short.
Dude.
He must have been a wide dude that was very short. So you'd be able to get a lot of underwear up and over.
Perfect.
And I'm sorry to laugh because a man is dead,
it's
but
funny.
It's funny because he died of an atomic wedgie. And I'm not going to sit here and act like that is not a funny thing because it is. Look, people die in strange ways. People die. People stick a fork in a toaster and die.
Right.
It's horrible. It's tragic if you know those people. But if you don't know those people, it's funny. And
sure.
You're lying to yourself if you say that it's not funny. You know, if somebody still somehow dies in a bathtub because they've got electronics falling into the water with them. If you know that person, it's tragic. If you don't know it, it's kind of funny. This atomic wedgie, now there had to be more. He had to be trying to kill him, right? Because in order to strength, you know...
It takes a lot to suffocate someone with their own underwear.
Was an asthmatic or something?
And we
don't know how clean that underwear was.
E. coli.
That's your own self,
really
though. So that's your own self.
Now, you can still get sick from your own fecal matter.
Well, it didn't happen. He died on the spot. It didn't happen over 48 hours.
Well, you were saying
hours.
That who knows how dirty his underwear was.
I think the guy tried to kill him. You know, I think the story is the atomic wedgie.
Yes.
But I think that he strangled him to death with his own underwear, basically.
Apparently, he's claiming it was an accident. But first of all, it is a little bit strange that you could suffocate someone on accident. It takes a lot to suffocate someone. And he also texted a friend that night that he was fixing to mess this guy up, you know, because he had nothing to lose or something. So
what a life.
What a life.
What
first
a life.
Of all, and
I've got nothing to lose. I'm just going to rip that underwear until I kill him because he deserves it.
And it really seems like technology is killing us. Okay. Yeah. So this guy's getting busted because he's texting a friend about how he might kill his stepdad that night with an atomic wedgie. The guy on the airplane, right? He's trying to tell us that we're going to be killing it. And then what was the first story about the train thing?
Yeah. It's so all
everyone just break your phones about, now. Let's just
it's all interconnected.
The thing about people being found out because of things that they posted on the internet is, you know, it's like that, is it called Hip Hop World Star? And like people are like basically involved in crimes and they tape themselves because they think, you know, sort of Johnny Knoxville Jackass style.
Watch us beat up this homeless guy.
Yeah, and then they put it up there and they just don't have any idea that that's going to be traced back to them.
Right.
You know, they don't even fuzz their faces out or anything along those lines. They're just like really proud of what they did. So the internet is good because it's going to help us catch a lot more stupid people because stupid people drop more breadcrumbs, right? And this is a place to drop more breadcrumbs.
So that's the new Darwinism.
Exactly.
If you're dumb enough to post something that's illegal.
I'm really going to hurt somebody tonight. And then somebody you're with dies, that's going to be used against you. And you probably should have known that. So I believe we have a couple more WTFs that we will get to when we return. Welcome back. According to Channel 2's Brad Nitz, we're going to get a high of 85 degrees today and an 8 on the Mellish meter. They don't change that to the Nitz meter while when Brad Nitzes in, which I think is...
Or the Brad barometer?
It should, maybe. Ooh. But Mellish, it's his meter, man. That's his meter until it's not his meter. So no matter who's doing the forecast, it's still the Mellish meter, and you can count on an 8 on the Mellish meter, which is pretty darn good given the weather we've had over the last few days. It's Sunday's another beautiful day. What more can you ask for? This weather brought to you by Shoemate, the official air conditioning of summer. Autumn Fisher, I believe that we have yet another story from the WTF files.
Ba-ba-ba-bow! That's
what
the WTF
music. Funny business.
So Snoop Dogg said in an interview that
Snoop Dogg is what? He is a rapper of some sort. Is that not
he is an African-American rapper?
I believe that he is. He new on the scene? Is he the kids like?
He's old school, y'all.
He's old school. Okay. Now, Snoop Dogg is quite funny, and I find his antics to be interesting and entertaining, although I don't really listen to his music. This song, Gin and Juice, is the only Snoop Dogg song that I know. So what's the story?
Rolling down. First of all, what happened to Snoop Lion? Wasn't he Snoop Lion for a while?
He went to Jamaica, I believe, and he came back and he said, I'm going to be Snoop Lion. So it may be, hey, look, we've all been covered by the likes of Rodney Ho. They could be just getting it wrong. They could just be saying Snoop Dogg. And it's actually Snoop Lion.
Well, anyway, so he came out, he said in an interview that he watches Game of Thrones to learn more about history.
That's interesting. That part of history where giants and dragons?
Yeah.
What part of history is it that he could learn from?
Well, he said that I watch it for historic reasons to try and understand what this world has was based on before I got here.
Ooh.
Which is kind of nice. Like, it kind of makes sense. He said, I like to know how we got from there to here and the similarities between then and now. Like,
where does he think there was? He could study World War II.
Arendelle or whatever.
You know what? I love Game of Thrones never mentions what time period it is.
Sure. Right.
Which I love.
Yeah, I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Well, maybe it really did exist that time. Were we there?
But I think that if you do watch Game of Thrones, you don't know if it's somewhere in the future or somewhere in the past or whatever, right? It could be, you don't know where or when it happens.
Another universe. It could be anywhere.
It's somewhere where dragons exist, and we don't really have any... evidence that ever really happened on this planet at any time in history, in human history or any other kind of history. So I think what it says is, what's he doing, the music for them or something? And that's why they're asking him about Game of Thrones.
He loves it. He loves Game of Thrones. And he even said that he would have done it for free, but they just decided to give him money, which
course.
I think is the real crime in the story.
Absolutely.
He's totally lying about that.
Of course he wouldn't do it for free.
Yeah.
He's Snoop Lion or
D-O-double-G.
Snoop, that's for sure.
He's the capital S and yes.
I don't watch Game of Thrones because
it's too brutal.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I don't get what's going on in America now, where all of these shows, they have to have this component of real sort of brutality and violence and bloodletting. And I've got to say, I'm totally out of step with America right now. I don't find that entertaining. I walked in, did a podcast, and I got home at like 11 o'clock a couple of weeks ago. And I walked in, and there was a movie that was about 15 minutes into progress. It had
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
The guy who died of the heroin thing. It must have been one of the last things he did. And it was on for 15 minutes, and I got sucked into it. It was a cool story about a down-and-out guy in the 70s. It really looked like the 70s. It was grimy, and I was really getting into it. And it's about 35-40 minutes in, there's a fight scene, and a guy sticks his finger in another guy's eye. And you have to watch this is entertainment. I don't consider it entertainment to watch people pop other people's eyeballs out. And I don't know what's wrong with, because, and people, and I'm sure that Game of Thrones is well written and well shot and well acted. But here's the thing. The violence is gratuitous. And the reason I know this is because fans of Game of Thrones would be mad if the next episode had zero blood in it. So if that's true, and you know that's true, people will be let down if the next 3 episodes of Game of Thrones had no blood in it. You have to look in the mirror and ask yourself, what am I becoming? What is happening to entertainment where you have to have a scene that is grotesque in basically everything that you do? Now, tell me why I'm wrong. Autumn Fisher, because you watch all these shows.
I do. And I don't think that anybody enjoys, like, yes, that's so bloody and gore. I mean, some people do, but that's not why you watch it. You watch it because the story, maybe there's some sort of balance where the story is so good that the violence in your mind is sort of justified.
You're still saying it's gratuitous, though. The story could be told without showing all of that stuff graphically. You'd still understand where you are, where the story's going.
Right, but maybe it makes some sort of impact that helps with the I don't know, the narrative.
I feel like, you know, makeup artists are ruining entertainment because they're getting so good at what they do that people decide to put it in the story because they can do it rather than do it because it's in the story.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of outrages in this world, and when we return, English Nick, an outrage corner.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.